So the Word of God comes to us in a very special way, as we've heard from the Gospel of Matthew. And to get in context, if you remember last week, Jesus was asking the disciples, but also us, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, Peter, hopefully answering for us, says, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." That ascent of faith is where we really enter into this Eucharist. But by contrast, in a tremendous way, we have this moment, Jesus saying that he is a suffering servant, that he's going to be going to Jerusalem and he's going to be killed and he will rise from the dead. And can you imagine Peter, thinking that he has the confidence of Jesus, pulls him aside and says, "Lord, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, Lord. That's not going to happen." And Jesus uses very strong language. He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are tempting me. Get behind me." Now, put yourselves in the shoes of Peter just for a moment. He is supposed to be the rock. He is supposed to be the one that Jesus chooses to lead the church. And yet, he has to step back into the moment with the disciples, and he realizes that something is not right here. He's expecting one thing, and Jesus is telling him another thing is going to happen. And that really brings us into the picture for us. You know, when we in life have stuff happening, for example, I had a friend named, we'll call him Mark, and he was taking care of his dad for many years, and eventually his dad passed away. And Mark was hopping mad at God, and he stopped going to church. And it was for a couple of years that he did not go to church because he was so angry with God, because that really wasn't his plan. And he really didn't like God's plan for his dad. And eventually he went on retreat and moved through the retreat and realized that Jesus is the suffering servant. And when he realized that, he got a glimpse of the mountaintop. He got a glimpse of heaven. And he's been coming to church ever since. Now, to bring it really home for us, couples, I'm not going to pick on you, and all our Biloxi couples, this is not true for you at all, okay? But when you have something that happens between your wife or your husband, and you happen to have that moment when you are hopping mad, our Biloxi couples, that doesn't happen for you. We know that. What happens? There has to be a moment when you realize that you touch the suffering servant in that moment. No matter which side of the argument you're on, you touch the suffering servant. And that's when true forgiveness happens. That's when you're able to say to one another, "I love you, even though right now I would like to put my hands around your throat. I love you." And for our teenagers, it sounds like those moments when your parents say no, but you go and do it anyway, and they get badly hurt. Even though you don't realize it, they may be badly hurt. That you don't trust them enough, that you don't love them enough. In that moment, you realize they're the ones that really love you. And they're the ones that forgive you almost no matter what. I praised it that way because I'm praying very hard for all of you that have teenagers. All of you. Very hard. And to our little ones, it's those moments when you're playing with one of your best friends and the neighbors and stuff, and you find yourself saying, "No, I'm not going to share my toy with you." Those moments really are moments in which we're called to touch the love of Christ. And you may have hurt your friend, or they may have hurt you because they wouldn't share their toy with you, whichever way it goes. And that becomes a moment, too, when you have to forgive one another, and you're called to really touch the suffering servant, who is Jesus himself. All the stuff we've been seeing in the world comes into play when we stand before the suffering servant who is Jesus, risen from the dead. We experienced here Katrina 12 years ago. It changed us forever. The folks in Corpus Christi, Rockport, Houston area, Beaumont, Louisiana, all of them have touched the suffering servant, as have we, because it's been painful to watch. I spent 18 years in Rockport as a pastor. I know everyone. I know every building. 55% of it is gone, totally gone. We know what that looks like. And it's a moment to allow the suffering servant into our lives personally, and for us to share the love of God with them as the folks in the whole country shared the love of God with us 12 years ago. It's a moment to be with Christ. It's not an easy moment. And we've lost a loved one, and I think the Gilich family is here, and you've lost a loved one. That's hard. But we lift up the loved one in prayer, and we let the love of God just surround that loved one. And that's true for each and every one of us. If we're struggling with something, or if we found ourselves have a difficulty, a problem, if we got a relationship we're struggling with, whatever it is, to let the love of God really hold us. And just imagine, the suffering servant who died on the cross for us loves us that much that with his wounds he's willing to embrace us and hold us close to him. That's a wow moment. That's a grace moment. That's what we do at this Eucharist. And he gives us a chance to receive his body and blood, to touch the suffering servant, but also to touch Jesus risen from the dead, the heavenly servant. I have a little poem for you that I'd like to read for you today that I think captures a part of this gospel. And it's called The Folded Page. Up in the attic of an old house, as raindrops patterned down on the roof, I sat paging through my schoolbook. I came to a page that was folded down, and across it was written in my own childish hand, "The teacher says we should leave this for now. It is too hard to understand." I unfolded the page and read it. Then I smiled and nodded my head and said, "The teacher was right. Now I understand." There are many pages in the book of life that are hard to understand. All we can do is fold them down and write, "The master says to leave this for now. It's too hard to understand." Then someday in heaven, we'll unfold the pages, reread them, and say, "The master was right.